Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. In our next segment, we talk with Rachel Richardson with Environment America about her latest paper and study on fracking.
Hi, this is Rachel Richardson. I'm the Stop Drilling Program Director with Environment America.
Rachel, could you tell us a little bit about an overview of the study and then also what you found?
Sure, yeah. So this report is an update of a similar report we released in 2013. It uses data reported in Frack Focus and information from state regulators on unconventional wells, and it's the only comprehensive look at all of the environmental impacts of fracking that we know of, from toxic chemicals use to water use to global warming pollution. And since our last report, more than 55,000 more fracking wells have been drilled, and the numbers in the report don't lie. For the past decade, fracking has been a nightmare for our drinking water, our open lands, and our climate.
Who stood out the most, or who had some sort of incredible new nugget of information?
So we mainly looked at, well, so first of all, we looked at some national numbers. So, and we selected states where, the most fracking is going on. So I'm happy to get into those national numbers some, and then if you have questions about specific states.
In fact, North Dakota would be the state where the Bakken is located mostly. I know it's a larger play, but most of the drilling over the past 3 to 5 years have been in North Dakota. I'd probably say 98% of the wells have been. So North Dakota would be the specific state, and then, yeah, the national figures as well.
Okay, great. Yeah. So I'll just start on some of the national findings, and then I'll get into some state-specific and can talk about North Dakota a little bit. So we found that fracking wells just in a single year created as much global warming pollution as 22 coal-fired power plants. And, methane is a pollutant 86 times more potent than carbon dioxide. It's released at multiple steps of fracking, from well completion during hydraulic fracturing, but then also in the processing and transport of gas to end users. And we were just looking at well completion. So this figure, at least 5.3 billion pounds of global warming methane pollution in a single year, just represents a fraction of fracking's total climate impact. We also looked at things like water use and wastewater produced. Nationally, at least 239 billion gallons of water have been used for fracking since 2005, which is an average of 3 million gallons per well. And as far as on the back end, fracking produces toxic wastewater, and at least 14 billion gallons of wastewater were produced in 2014. And the other finding we found particularly concerning was the amount of toxic chemicals that have been used. So fracking uses vast quantities of chemicals, some known to harm human health. And between 2005 and 2015, fracking used at least 23 billion pounds of toxic chemicals. And, that can put people at risk if they live or work nearby, if those chemicals enter our drinking water after spill, or if they become airborne. So those are some of the national findings we chose to highlight in today's release.
And in regards to, I have to ask you about North Dakota. One of the things that North Dakota has said is that the fracking occurs 2 miles below the surface, therefore it doesn't leach into the water, or it doesn't have some of those methane effects. Did you find that to be true, or did your study find something else?
Going to your methane comment, we found that in 2014, North Dakota, wells completed in North Dakota released over the equivalent at 1.6 million cars as far as emissions go. And the pounds, that's, over 517 million pounds of methane released just in North Dakota. So you know, we're seeing from state to state where fracking is happening, there's huge amounts of methane being emitted. And, you know, it's not nearly regulated as much as it needs to be. So that was looking at methane. I mean, I didn't mention this in the national numbers, but we also looked at amount of land disturbed from fracking. The national figure was 675,000 acres, which is the equivalent to over 500,000 football fields. And in North Dakota, that number, the number of acres destroyed by fracking in North Dakota was 33,718. And, you know, whether we're looking at the national numbers or even the state by state numbers, we attempted to limit the scope of the data included in the report to wells using high volume hydraulic fracturing with horizontal drilling, and we focused on wells fracked since 2005, and since the definition of and data collection on practices for fracking vary significantly from state to state, in some cases we weren't able to glean any numbers from a given state, and so we even think that our figures could be somewhat conservative.
With the amount of coal plants that are under fire right now, some are declaring bankruptcy. I just saw two last week. Do you see this going that direction? Because you made the comparison that the fracking is very similar to X amount, I think it was 20 or whatever it was, amount of coal plants. Is that kind of where this is leading? Or just kind of talk a little bit about that, if you would, the coal and oil and gas relation at this point now.
Sure. Well, so I think with, you know, the decline in gas prices and, you know, things like the Clean Power Plan, we're seeing more of a focus on shifting to renewable energy. And at Environment America, we can't see that. We're not seeing that transition happening soon enough. So we are, you know, to truly protect our climate and environment from fracking, we need to ban it completely. Now, we don't think that's going to happen overnight, but we need to start looking at places where we can stop it. For example, we're currently pushing for a ban on fracking on all public lands, which is something that could happen at the federal level. But we're also looking at, you know, the reason why we've seen fracking expand so much over the past 10 years is because it's largely unregulated. So we're also looking at places where we can tighten the screws on fracking and increase regulations, so we can not only be mitigating the harms of fracking, but also limiting it from expanding more and more. And, you know, with gas prices being so low and coal coming under fire, as you mentioned, there's not a better time to really start moving towards 100% renewable energy.
Obviously, you know, oil and gas has not quite as an industry accepted the term global warming. How do you guys deal with something along those lines when you put out a study that has a lot to do with the global warming part of it? And then the industry may turn their back at it or may not give it as much credibility because that word is in there. Does that make sense?
Kind of. I mean, so for one, we wouldn't really consider the industry our audience. You know, we are hoping that by putting this report out there, people will see that the numbers don't lie and that fracking's been a nightmare over the past decade. And, you know, what we're hoping comes out of it is, you know, a more informed electorate, more informed members of Congress who will hopefully take action on this issue. So, you know, I don't think we're ever going to get the oil and gas industry to see eye to eye with us on what we think needs to be done. I don't know if that answers your question.
Actually, I thought it was a very good answer by just saying that they're not your audience. I thought that was probably the best answer I could have heard. Last question, a pretty simple one. tell us about your organization, what you guys are trying to accomplish, maybe how you guys are funded. Are you a political organization, a lobbyist group? Are you nonprofit? Just kind of explain the organization and, you know, how you guys recruit and et cetera.
Yeah, so Environment America is a national federation of statewide citizen-funded advocacy groups. So we receive the majority of our funding from dues-paying members. We canvass across the country. We knock on millions of doors, talking to people face-to-face about some of the most pressing environmental issues that we face. And, you know, we really believe by engaging huge numbers of people in our in public policy and in the decision-making process, we can bring about the kinds of changes we need to really make progress on environmental issues. And it's how we helped win the Clean Water Rule. It's how we helped win the Clean Power Plan and how we're continuing to fight for implementation in the states on the Clean Power Plan. And, you know, it's how we're going to you know, limit the impacts of fossil fuels and global warming by keeping fossil fuels where they belong, which is in the ground.
Thank you. And how would you like to leave people on this interview?
Well, I guess I just want to say a couple of additional remarks about the report and what it paints. We're seeing the numbers in this report paint a really frightening picture of fracking harms state by state. That includes contaminated drinking water, marred landscapes, and also global warming pollution. And whether you're already on the front lines of fracking or simply worried about your children having a safe future, the numbers in this report don't lie. And ultimately, the best way to protect our health and climate from fracking is to ban this dirty drilling practice and keep fossil fuels in the ground. So I hope folks listening would want to get involved with that and take action to talk to their decision makers, talk to their neighbors and friends about getting more involved in environmental issues and keeping fossil fuels in the ground.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
To listen to the full-length interview with Rachel Richardson or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit cafecapitalism.com. That's cafecapitalism.com.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Hey folks, I'm multimedia journalist Jason Spies and the host of Building the Bakken Radio and Coffee and Capitalism. Traveling across the Rocky Mountain region and the upper Midwest has introduced me to many new people, landed me in exciting places, and created lifelong connections. And there's one place I want to tell you about today, and that's the Lodge at Deadwood. It is without a doubt my favorite place to stay in the Black Hills. In fact, not only is it my favorite, it's pretty much everybody else's. They're a three-time recipient of the best hotel, best casino, and best overall restaurant in the Black Hills. So if you're planning a conference, maybe a weekend getaway, a wedding, whatever it might be, I truly invite you to check out the Lodge at Deadwood and find out why they're consistently voted the best hotel, the best casino, and the best restaurant. Now listen, if I didn't believe that the Lodge at Deadwood was the best place to stay in the Black Hills, I wouldn't be doing this testimonial across our media network, which spans 5 states and 30 plus radio stations. And I feel very confident when I say the Lodge at Deadwood will exceed all your expectations. Check them out online today at deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com.